Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J. King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is J. King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-host, Johnny Graham, Cracker, Davis.
What's up? Good morning, everyone. I'm still trying to get to the center of this damn lollipop, and I'm not saying Happy New Year.
Robert Redwine.
Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Oh, yeah, baby.
Mr. DLW.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another wonderful Wednesday, and you know I'm wishing you a progressive and productive day.
San Diego Simi.
I was just thinking about guys with the name of Dick and Peter, and how much they would love to put a foot in their mama's ass.
or they might like the name because they could say, you know, I'm the Dick for you, or you know, I'm the Peter for you. And of course, the tenacious Lady T.
Good morning, y'all. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning,
ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning,
coming to the microphone is an icon.
Oh yeah.
A legend.
Only in Miami.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. Doom, 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 doom. He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his dinero.
I hate Miami. And what if the father named the kid? You want to put a foot in their daddy's ass? Well, what if they're a junior? You know, Peter Jr., Dick Jr.
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
What if they're the third? You know, and then they got to blame their damn granddaddy, Peter the Third. Peter, you know, Dick the Third.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Yo, baby boo. Girl, what's up with you?
Our program director.
Word around campus is you like it with two.
Our chief MF.
I want to be catty, grab it, stab it, silly rabbit.
Our head honcho.
Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids.
Our Big Willie.
And licks are for girls.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Our Sambo.
All around my goo is it.
Okay, now all of a sudden, Lynn, this thing has gotten so, this board has gotten so weird that it has all the Club Nouveau music up front.
It's Blog Talk. Welcome to Blog Talk, Jay.
you know how I would do the little all aboard and all that. None of the all aboard stuff is here. It's nowhere. Hold on, let me. Then I'll do this right here.
Okay.
Oh my God! It has switched all around, man.
Okay, everybody. The board's back intact.
Ladies and gentlemen,
put your hands together for R. Okay, everybody, the board is back intact. Sambo, Mr. Lynn, Tolliver, Junior.
All aboard!
Now, Lynn, the board is not intact. The board is, listen, right now.
How'd you whistle?
I just kept scrolling down. It's past Christopher Williams.
Right. Okay.
So it's got Christopher Williams. Hold on. I'm still scrolling. J. King Newsreel news story. Wow. The Newsreel. Now it's all the way. It's way down here. I don't know.
You know, they're making like additions, but it seems like it's getting worse.
Yeah.
They're making changes and stuff.
Yeah, they need to go back to
the first board.
Original.
Yeah.
This is getting worse and worse.
Yeah. I like the board better.
We just said that, Johnny.
Well, I had to put my 2 cents in.
That was only a shilling. Hey, so.
A shilling, sir. A shilling.
Shilling, please, shillings.
A shilling.
Did you see that ship that was sinking? That, you know, nearly 300 people were missing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was like 450 students on the ship from South Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a shame.
I'm gonna tell you guys what's a shame, but I'm gonna tell you after I do this.
Okay.
Didn't hesitation in the way that you relay your love to me. Trying to test and see how imperfect, perfect love can be. Oh, I know you've been hurt before. I know how it is when you're trying to find you. Cause I've been hurt before, and I've been in repair mode.
I know what
it takes to get through. Can't let that phase make you give away us, give up on trust. Cause that's when we start to argue.
Trying to make love, and we ain't gotta break up to make love. There's no obligation, cause our foundation is more than enough. Oh, oh.
Not conditional.
When it comes to loving you,
I know it's not traditional.
Starting to compare me to him, but he ain't me no any many man. There's no comparison. You gotta let go of the past, or it's gonna hold us back, girl. You gotta put down your bags and believe I'm better than that.
I know what it takes to get through. Can't let that phase make you give away up, give up on trust. Cause that's when we start to argue.
You shouldn't have to fight to make love. Break up the makeup.
There's no obligation, cause our foundation is more than enough. It's not conditional.
with Not Conditional. It's available at iTunes right now, and it's his new single. I'm just pulling it up. I'm trying to find out who wrote this song. They don't say. They don't say who produced it. I want to find a lyric on the song. I started writing a lyric, and I can't find what I did with them. Yes.
It's Unconditional. Yes, when it comes to loving you.
Robert,
what the hell
are
you talking about, man?
Oh yeah.
You love Jay. You're admitting your love for Jay, in what kind of manner?
Unconditional.
So he can kick you around and stomp you and push you down the steps and you still love him?
Unconditionally.
Are you the real Donna Summers? With the real Donna Summer, please stand up. It's Robert Redwine. Why did you say that? Why didn't you say, Lady T, I've been checking you out on Facebook. I love you, sweetie. Why didn't you say something like that? Why would you pick a man, you know? Why would you pick a guy?
Well,
you know, why don't you do this? This
is the thing. I'm a heterosexual dyke, right? King Jay has been like a mentor and a big brother to me in this music game, and he's stuck by my side.
If I'm a mentor to you, I'm a piss poor mentor.
Well, King Jay, I went from trying to break in the industry to breaking in the industry all the way to the rise and fall of Robert Redwine, and I'm rising again with you, King Jay. Of course I love women. Of course Lady T is fine and Amma Jamma. She's my co-host on this blog talk radio show. So she's just my workmate. But anyway, so what I'm trying to say with my panties on is I love you, King Jay, unconditionally. Keep up.
Right.
Wow. Jay, what would you rather have? Robert's unconditional panty wearing love, or Kim marrying your dad? Which one of the two?
You know what? Hey, Lynn.
Yeah.
Kim would have to marry my dad, and I'd have a smile on my face. I don't want that damn panty wearing love around me like that.
Could you imagine Robert standing next to you with a pair of panties?
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Are you coming out, Robert? Are you finally coming out?
I already came out. I'm a heterosexual dyke.
I want the world to know.
Hey.
I'm a stankin' hoe.
Oh, whoa, honey.
Panties in the air like a helicopter.
Jay King's News Reel.
The NCAA heard Shabazz loud and clear. Will now give athletes unlimited meals. During the Final Four, Shabazz Napier spoke about how he was sometimes going to bed starving because he couldn't afford food. This was the kind of embarrassment that the NCAA couldn't bear. After it had been announced that they made more money during March Madness than the playoffs for the NBA and NFL combined. So this week, the NCAA's Legislative Council announced that athletes are expected to have unlimited meals. The new rule applies to all athletes, including walk-ons, which is a huge step forward in securing labor rights of collegiate athletes. The rule has to be approved by the Board of Directors, which meets on April 24th. I think the end result is right where it needs to be, Committee Chairwoman and America East Assistant Commissioner Mary Movina said in a statement released by the governing board. This is from ESPN. The proposal has been debated for months, but Napier's comments following last week's national championship game brought attention to the topic. Napier was named the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament, leading Connecticut to its fourth men's title. Schools have been allowed to provide three meals per day or stipend for those meals to scholarship athletes. The new rule will allow walk-ons to receive the same allowances and would allow schools to provide more meals and snacks, too. Hilariously, the NCAA had previously allowed athletes to have bagels, but made it illegal for them to receive a spread on the bagel like cream cheese. Can
wow.
you imagine that?
Wow.
You know, we can give you
now,
a bagel,
for,
but we can't. Huh?
Is this for the UConn only or for all college athletes?
For all colleges. The NCAA across the board. All athletes.
That's great. That's good.
Because
that's good.
What we're saying about athletes being able to make money because they generate a lot of money for the job they do for the university.
Yeah.
We're headed in that direction. It's going to happen. I say in the next 2 to 3 years.
That'd be excellent.
Right.
And I think athletes like Reggie Bush
yeah.
should be able to make money from their jerseys that's being sold.
Right.
Can I ask you a question in relation?
Exactly.
Can Reggie Bush be reinstated his height if this ruling goes
through? No, I think first of all, I don't think you should give somebody something and then take it back. You know, that's to me like if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you know and you bought him or her some things and then you guys break up and then you want your shit back.
Like Eamon.
That don't make no sense to me. So you know what? Hey, look, Reggie Bush he'd already left college. He'd already won the Heisman. You know, he had already broke up with college. Y'all ain't together no more.
Maybe this is the Kim Kardashian factor is why they don't want to give it back to him. Well, he could probably get some spread on his bagel now. all those bagels he had without spread on them, he could get like this. You get 10 year supply of bagel spread.
Man, you off the chain.
All right, Kim Berger just said that. Kim Berger just said the text, man. She said, good morning, Robert Redwine. I'm sad.
Good morning.
I'm sad. I'm hurting for you. Please understand, when I say you remind me of a situation when you're in a marriage and the woman says she doesn't want you anymore, and instead of you leaving and starting over, you ask to move in the basement and continue to be tortured by her and her badass kids. The woman is represented by Jay, and of course the badass kids are Johnny White Boy Davis and Big Boy Lynn Tolliver. Robert, move out, even if it means you're homeless.
Is that Kim Virgil, King J?
Yes.
Kim Virgil, buddy.
I told you, can't none of y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't one of y'all, not one of y'all could go up against Kim Virgil and win.
No okay. way, Jose.
She'll spit you out. She'll cheer up and spit you out. Don't come for her.
She'll have you put those panties on backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Robert.
Yes, King Good.
But don't let Kim deter you. You know, you're with us. Yeah, I mean, we always have you in the basement. It ain't like it's a new place for you. You've been in the basement for a while. But you know what happened with Lynn? You know what happened with Robert Lynn? Is Robert, you know in high school how there were girls in high school and they was just super fine? I mean, like they were super fine. And then it seemed like as soon as they got out of high school, like high school was their peak. That's
yeah.
as fine as they was going to get.
Yeah.
And then it's all downhill.
Yeah.
Robert's like that girl. Robert's been as good as he's going to get on this show. You know, and then he just, and he didn't, you know, now he's, and here's Peter again. Now he's petering out.
Hmm.
Oh, no, honey, hush.
He shot his last one.
Yep. Robert done. Robert did all he could do. Robert, I wish you could. I wish you could rebound, but I don't know what it is. I don't know how to make you pull it back together.
Well, I'll tell you what, King. You have a day next week where it's my day, and it's called the Robert Redwine Takeover. He let me take over this show for one day.
Okay, Robert, we're going to practice the Robert Redwine Takeover right now for 3 minutes.
Golly, King, God, I just woke up, man.
You got 3 minutes. Well, you're going to be just waking up then. You got 3 minutes, and you want a whole 2 hours. Next week, I'm giving you 3 minutes right now to see what the takeover would be like. 5, 4, 3, 2, go.
Good morning, America. Hello, this is Robert Redwine. This is the J. King Network, and it's called the Robert Redwine Takeover. Oh, yeah, babe. I want everybody to call in right now and come talk to me. Come touch me. Come feel me. Come hear me breathe. Come hear me in my Motel 6 drinking hemlock. Call in right now. Let me hear you.
Ain't nobody calling in. Keep going, Robert. You still got 2.5 minutes left.
Okay.
I'ma put my panties to the sky and give you what you need, girl.
Still got 3 minutes, Robert.
All right, still got 3 minutes. Okay, I want some call in. All these people on the global internet,
people
world, I want to talk.
People
to
don't call in, Robert. They don't. Just because you say I won't call in, they don't do that. They call in if they want to.
They don't.
You don't boss. You can't command people around to call in. I want Collins. Collins now. Now, Collins.
Hey, call
in. Do that.
Well, King J, this is called my takeover. It's an example of the takeover.
It might be your takeover, but people don't have to call in because you said and they won't. See, your show will go nowhere fast.
You still got 3 minutes, Robert. 3 minutes. Go.
Lynn, you got this.
I got a question for you.
The DOW said that you need to be reformed. He said you need to turn in your panties for some big boy boxers.
No, I'm going to wear fullbacks.
Okay, I got a question.
You got a caller, Robert. You got somebody calling in for you.
Oh, yeah, babe. Go ahead. Who's the caller? Where you calling from?
Hey, Robert. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing...
You're speaking to your worst nightmare.
And who
hey,
is that?
Are you kin to Peter or are you kin to Paul? Which one are you kin to? Was that Dick?
No, who is this right now? Who is this? Who's calling?
It's your worst nightmare.
I know. I want to know which nightmare it is.
Talk
your name,
to me.
Man. What's your name, man?
Peter.
Robert, hold on, Robert. Let me explain something to you.
Yeah. Okay.
A guy calls in, says he's your worst nightmare. There's a lot of places you can go with that, okay?
Okay. Help me out, King J.
You could have said, oh, my God, so you're that enema that was coming out my ass last night.
Okay, I got you.
You gotta be witty. It's sometimes shitty.
But three minutes, Robert.
This is grueling.
You know what, Robert? I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't want you to do the 3 minutes because you're boring the hell out of me. You didn't make me so sick. There's people that got off the line because of your 3 minutes. They're done.
3 minutes,
done,
Robert,
with the show.
3 minutes. Go.
Really?
You got 3 minutes. You still got 3 minutes. Go.
Oh. Now who's this guy that's calling right now?
It didn't matter who was calling. When the caller called in and said they were the worst nightmare, you could have gone a lot of places with it.
You could have said,
"You're right, Kruger? I should have said,
hey, is this Kruger? Is this Fred Kruger? Yeah. You know, he missed a lot of stuff.
Well, Lion, you got experience with radio, man. I'm a new
guy. Ain't got nothing to do with being on the radio. It got to be something to do. Like, have you ever been in school and somebody say, hey, fatso, yeah, come lick this fat hoe. Okay, so like this. I mean, you ain't got nothing to do with being on radio.
That's right. Okay. You can say, you can, somebody call you fatso, yeah, I got a fatty. You want to see him?
I got you. So you got to quit drawing the draw.
I got a question for you, Robert. I got a question. Did you see Shrek? Did you see Shrek?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the girl she pretended to be? You know, she was all glamorous, but, you know, at, when the sun went down, she became a female Shrek?
Yeah.
Okay, now, would you rather go out on a date with that female Shrek or Jay?
Oh, well, that's not fair.
Well, that is fair. It's a good question. She was an ogre.
I prefer female company lying in my Motel 6.
So you would go out with...
So why do, well, why every time we hear you, we hear a whole bunch of boys in your room?
Well, King Jay, I mean, I was mentored by them boys. And you was one of them boys in terms of the music business.
No. Don't you ever call me one of them boys. First of all, I didn't. Let me tell you something, Robert. I didn't mentor you. You stalked me. There's an acute difference in the two. You stalk me and say, "King J, I want to be the J King of Seattle."
Yeah, I did.
You failed. You didn't do it. You didn't make the cut. You fell short. It didn't happen. Your time has passed. It's over.
King J, it don't stop till the casket drops.
Well, I forgot to say it, but the casket is dropped on your career.
Well, that's really nice of you, King J. I enjoy being in the basement, the bottom of the barrel.
Well, Kim Virgil has so eloquently chronicled your journey to the bottom.
J. King's News Reel.
Beyonce's baby brother is officially homeless, and she has pictures to prove it. Alexandra Wright is at the end of her wits. Now she says that she and her son Nixon are officially on the street, and she has the photos to prove it. She told InTouch that she and her son have been struggling financially and that no one in the Knowles family is willing to help them out. She gave birth to the child after having an affair with Matthew while he was married to his ex-wife, Tina. Since Beyonce is the most famous member of the family, Alexandra is calling her name in public the most. Alexandra says, "Nixon deserves to know his family, and I hope that one day he will meet his sister, Beyonce." The reduction in child support occurred on March 3rd, which led to a drop in her monthly income from $12,000 per month to $2,400 per month. There is no word as to whether or not the mother needs an extra $10,000 a month to take care of a four-year-old. But the new ruling was applied retroactively, meaning that Matthew doesn't have to pay a dime for another 2 years. I can't imagine how Beyonce feels knowing she has a homeless brother, Alexandra says. I know if I were in the same position, I would reach out. Maybe she's too busy. This is the second time that Alexandra has asked for money in public. She also did an interview with Inside Edition last month saying that she would have to go on food stamps. Financial lovemaking questions for Alexandra. Number one, what do Beyonce and her millions have to do with your relationship with Matthew? She didn't ask for any of this. Number two, at what point does a person need $12,000 per month in order to avoid staying off of food stamps? Number three, when did having a child with a celebrity mean that this person and his family had to take care of you for the rest of your life? And number four, do you think it makes any sense to sleep with a married man and expect that he's going to be any more committed to you than the wife he's cheating on already? Alexandra needs to get a job, Lynn. Plain and simple.
Man, that's sad, King J. Our friend Sandy Wright, man, stooping down to this level. I mean, she's our friend, man. Would you talk to her, man?
Sandy Wright. Who's that?
Alexandra. Alexandra oh. Wright. That's the girl. We both know her. Now, I listen.
How old?
Once you, she's treading in some treacherous waters now.
Right. How old is she?
Mm-hmm.
I heard she was 16.
42.
Two, I'm sorry.
That's old enough to get a job.
16.
Yeah, she's done me those. Listen, first of all, you're with somebody else's husband.
Yeah.
You know, she's with somebody else's husband. And
how long have they been messing around with each other? About
18 months.
But all it takes
Sandy
is one night.
Talented.
All it takes is one night to have a baby.
Now, you know, listen. She needs to get up off her ass, quit playing victim, and go get a job. Now, what I didn't like that the courts did, Lynn, I didn't like the fact that they went retroactive on her. So, in essence, what they did was this. They said any money that you've received already, we're going to, at a certain point, from retroactive from this stamp, from this date, we're going to already apply it, which I think is unfair. They should have said, moving forward, you get $2,400 a month and make it from there. Because I do think that he has the responsibility as a father to take care of his kid. And $2,400 a month is, no, she wouldn't be getting $2,400 a month if it was a regular working class guy, last Don. But the bottom line is this. You get child support based on what the father's making so he can support his child. And if a guy's making the kind of money that Matthew's making, $2,400 a month is fair. And he should want to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you another issue I have. Another issue I have with this deal. This ain't like this was some side chick that Matthew was seeing, and you know, they were dating each other. They lived in the same house with each other. Matthew was separated from Tina, and he was with Sandy Alexandra. They had a house in Beverly Hills. She had credit cards. And they probably would have continued to have a relationship had she had an abortion. And when she didn't get the abortion, then that's when all hell broke loose. So, you know, I'm not going to just put it all on her because he's got some responsibility in this deal too. But that's the deal she can't put it all on him. You know, and she should have and she was working. You know, she worked over at Microsoft. The problem with Sandy is this. You know how somebody makes a resume bigger than their skills, Lynn? And they're capable of, you know, they're capable of talking about the job.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to doing the job, they're not as skilled as their words.
Why didn't he wear a condom?
he wanted to feel it. He wanted to feel that Sandy. He wanted to feel Sandy. Feel her good.
Kim Virgil said she should give the child to Matthew to be raised and be gone, because if you've wasted $12,000 a month talking about homeless, you're not fit to be a mother. Okay, so now this is where people. I'm not gonna take up for her, but I'm not gonna let you guys bash her because you don't know the whole facts here. But this is when people start talking outside their neck, like Kim is talking outside of her neck right now. She don't know what she. Forgive her, Father, for she knows not what she says. Number one,
she's cameo.
She didn't make $12,000 a month continuously because Matthew wasn't paying it. He was ordered to pay $12,000 a month, but he wouldn't pay it. He paid a few months because he was going to go to jail. I think he might have paid 4 months. She had to have legal counsel in order to fight him. And that's where she really lost this thing at, because, you know, he's got unlimited legal counsel. She doesn't. And he doesn't. And part of the problem is he doesn't want to see the baby.
Wow.
Again, this ain't some because he doesn't want the baby.
That needs to be heard.
That's fine.
So you know, it's not like, you know, and again, this wasn't some side chick. This was a girl he was living with.
I thought when you do it, you want to do it because you want a baby. That's right. You do it because, you know, it feels good. You know, but you didn't get that cameo joke or cameo talking out the side of my neck.
Cameo. Because I'm sorry, because I'm reading and stuff and trying to go through what people are saying. Listen, I don't think she thought it was going to last forever. She never got, she didn't blow the money. So now, Momo, you're talking out the side of your neck because you don't know what you're talking about. She didn't blow the money. She didn't have.
And in love, you never know. You're not thinking that it's not.
She didn't have enough of the. She never got enough of the money because it never came consistently. So what she got, she did put in the bank. She did save. That's why she was able. No, Momo, I don't know everything, but I know everything about this because I know the whole situation because I know the people involved.
They even replayed. Somebody replayed one of the shows you did on her. Remember that? They posted that show.
But Momo, I agree with you. She reaping what she sowed, for sure. For sure, she's reaping what she sowed. But my thing is this: you can't just put it all on her. You can't just make her the bad guy in this. She's gonna pay for her part, but he's still got to pay for his part. What's your question, Mr. DOW?
Yeah, Jay. My question is why doesn't he want to see the child, and why won't he take custody of the child? I can understand he doesn't want to, you know, give her the money. You know, he really doesn't want much to deal with her, but that has
maybe you didn't hear me when I told you that he told her to have an abortion. Maybe you didn't hear that part.
No, I did hear that part.
Yeah, he told her to have an abortion. You know why people tell women to have abortions?
They don't get in trouble with their wives.
Because they don't want the baby.
They don't want the responsibility.
Thank you, Simi. Thank you, Lynn. Because they don't want the baby. He don't want no baby with her. This is what happened. Let me tell you guys a story so everybody know what the real story was. But let's go back to this. First of all, she had no business sleeping with a married man. So let's be at 100, okay? So like Momo said, you're going to get what you deserve out of this. Okay? So this is what happened. And the reason why I know it, Don, is because, last Don, because I know her. Because I know her whole situation. Because I knew when she first got pregnant. I knew when they were dating. That's how I know. I knew how long they had been dating. I knew how she got the job over at Interscope when she got fired, when he set her up and set her up in a good way, not in a bad way, helped her out, helped her get a good job, and she couldn't hold the job because she was not. She wasn't capable.
She wasn't qualified.
And that's just the bottom line. She wasn't capable. She was in over her head. She got a position that she couldn't handle, and she ended up getting fired from Interscope. So, but let me tell you guys what happened here. So, Alexandra Wright gets pregnant. She doesn't think she can have babies because she's been pregnant before. She had a miscarriage. She tells Matthew that she's pregnant. Matthew says he wants to have the baby with her. They're planning for the baby. The first 2 months are exciting. She calls me and says, Matthew and I are having a baby. He's really excited. You know, we're gonna do something new in one of his rooms in here. He's helping me, blah, blah, blah. And so month 3, Matthew and Tina are going through their thing, through their divorce and, you know, and settlement stuff. And just so that you guys know, Alexandra Wright did not break up Matthew Knowles and Tina Knowles. Matthew Knowles was already separated from Tina when he met Alexandra and pursued her. At the time, she was working for Zoom for Microsoft. And that's where they met. And they met on the Solange project because Zoom was one of the sponsors and because she was in charge of publicity for the Zoom. She dealt with all of the celebrities, Prince, Neo, everybody. She was the person. She was the contact person for Microsoft. Or, you know, what is his company? Is it Microsoft, Bill Gates' company?
Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Right, Jim.
Okay.
And Zoom,
so
Zoom is a product
of
the division.
Yeah. So and Zoom was a product that that Microsoft created. All right. So she that's where they first met, and that's where the pursuit happened. And then she left there and went to Nokia. And when she went to Nokia, Matthew took her from Nokia. And so at that time, she and Matthew are now seeing each other. So not only are they seeing each other, they're living together in a house in L.A., in Beverly Hills. And so not only are they seeing each other, she's got credit cards. They're making house together. So this isn't some fly by night, so I don't want people to get any impression that, you know, that she was some fly by night chick that just got pregnant by him and then had this baby, because that's not the truth. Now, what Alexandra Wright is doing, I don't agree with. You know, but I know what she's trying to do. She's trying to embarrass the family into doing something. I don't agree with that. But I also don't agree with people saying things about her that aren't true.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be fair on both sides of the fence here. Alexandra Wright was with a married man, but the married man that she was with was in the throes of a divorce already. Tina and he were separated already over allegations of him having sex with some of the dancers that worked with Beyonce, some of the dancers that were dancing for Beyonce. You know, so Alexandra Wright was probably a real relationship where he was just bumping those girls. He was actually, he was traveling with her. They were flying from place to place. They were doing things together as a couple. So when she got pregnant by him, you know, she said, I just want him to do the right thing. But I told her then, you know, you can't force somebody to want a baby that doesn't want it. And she said, but Jay, he wanted this baby. And so I just had to be real. See, because I'm going to keep it at 100. Don't have a conversation with me that you don't want to be at 100. And I told her straight up, I said, the reason why Matthew told you to have the baby was because he thought you were going to have a miscarriage. And that's the truth. And you didn't have a miscarriage. And when he saw that you weren't going to have a miscarriage, he had to tell you to get an abortion. It wasn't the right time. You guys go away. Because basically what he told her is, you know, let's not do this now. Let's wait until later. And she said no. She said, this may be the only baby I get to carry. No. And see, I'm going to say this to a woman. Y'all might not like this, but this is just the real skinny of it. Don't call somebody a deadbeat daddy that say they don't want to be a father to your kid. He might want to have sex with you. He don't want to have babies with you. He already said it. I don't want you to be the mother of my kids. And then you decide that you're going to be the mother of his kid anyway, even though he said he don't want you to be. And then he acts out like he don't want the baby. He ain't acting out. He told you he don't want the baby before the baby came in the world. Make him responsible. But don't make him have to, don't go out and badmouth him. Call a spade a spade. Hey, we was fucking. We got caught in something that we wasn't supposed to, and this bundle of joy happened. If he don't want it, maybe today he don't want it. But maybe a year from now,
okay,
he will. Huh?
I'm saying, she didn't know she could get pregnant, right? So she got pregnant, and then once she got pregnant, you found out that she's against abortions.
Mm-hmm.
What if she's against abortions?
Well, no. Listen, no, he, not just that. He told her that he wanted her to have a baby.
Oh.
Because what he thought was she was going to have, I think he thought that she was going to have a miscarriage. She's been on our show before. So for those of you who don't know, she has been on the show a couple of times. Have we had her on here once or twice?
Twice.
Momo B said if she wasn't popping off and being reckless looking for money in all the wrong places, I wouldn't even be talking about this, because outside of her bringing Beyonce in a situation, this is just regular everyday shit. Man meets woman on the slide. Man ain't no good to start. Man don't want the baby. Woman had a baby. Man sends a little something. Man stops. Woman gets mad and goes wild. Same game, different players. And you're right. But I'm going to tell you, see, I thought that she shouldn't have started to put Beyonce in it.
Right.
I thought she should have just kept it about Matthew, because it ain't Beyonce's issue. It's her daddy's issue. Beyonce don't pay her daddy's bills, and Beyonce don't tell her daddy how to pay his bills.
Right.
So I think that's the problem I have. Next to the last answer, I got a question for you, Jay. It's off the subject, but are you in the business? You may know the answer, but you are in the business. Yeah, what's the question, Don? Ask the question, I'll answer it. So I just believe that she did that to herself. She's done, she put herself in a trick bag by going out, to the media and saying Beyonce's brother and all that stuff. No, that's not Beyonce's brother. That's Matthew's son.
Right.
That's Matthew's son.
But DNA-wise, it
doesn't matter. It's Matthew's son. You don't put Beyonce in it. Beyonce ain't the baby's mama. Beyonce didn't lay in the bed. Beyonce didn't carry the baby. Beyonce didn't have sex with her daddy. She had sex with Beyonce's daddy. Why are you addressing Beyonce? She hasn't addressed Tina. She hasn't addressed Solange.
Well, King J, maybe it's her legal defense's strategy to go out, grab the biggest name, to get the most headlines with using Beyonce.
You're right, Momo. I agree with you. Beyonce's name should not be in the mix. See, I think if Alexandra Wright had just said, all I'm asking Matthew Knowles to do is to be a father and take care of his son. We had a 2-year relationship. I knew he was married to Tina. I knew they were going through a divorce. I didn't do anything different than any other woman seeing a man who's going through a situation with his ex. Tina was his ex. That's how that was presented to me. I apologize if, you know, and I mean, you know, if I caused anybody any harm, it's not my intent. Matthew and I were in love. We lived together. He encouraged me to get pregnant and have the baby. And then he decided that he didn't want me to have the baby, and I said, no, I'm not getting an abortion. At that point, I think women would stand up and say, you know what? This nigga can't do that, and they would stand up for her.
Hey, I got a question for Robert.
Yes.
Robert, if you were Beyonce, what would you do in this situation?
I would say no comment, honey.
Hey, how's Jay-Z in bed, baby?
I'm a heterosexual type. I'm not attracted to that arrogant camel.
You walk right
I'm next to last, Don. I never heard of the transitions, so I don't know. I never heard the Baby Boy soundtrack either, so I don't know. I don't know who the transitions are. I never heard of them. Obviously, they didn't have it wasn't a big record, but it was a record that was big in your heart. So, Tina, since you're the only woman on the panel, well, Tina, you and Robert can answer this, because this is for the ladies. Do you think that Alexandra Wright would have been better received by the female population had she just kept this about Matthew and not brought Beyonce into the mix?
Most definitely, because I feel like it's not about Beyonce. It's about the father of the child. And, you know, they had an agreement. It was their relationship. It was what they built together. Beyonce had no knowledge of it, you know. So, you know, just probably just like, you know, the rest of us. So the thing about it is I think that she should take responsibility for her child. And if he is going to be a father, you know, father, then she should be like every other single mother and raise her child on her own the way the rest of us have.
You said if he's going to be a fatherless father?
I mean, if he's going to be a father, if he's not going to be around the child and doesn't want the child and is not going to be in the child's life, then she needs to be a single mother and raise the child like every other woman has.
Let me see. I hope Momo B, can you call in? I want you to call in because I want to hear what Momo B has to say about it. Robert, I would hear what you have to say about it, but I think you kind of
you're a little boyish
today.
Well, you know, I am a little boyish, but you know, sad. You know, this is an awkward situation. Sandy's our friend, King J, and you know, I just you know, I wish you would keep it just about Matthew, but maybe it's illegal. Illegal.
Wow. Was that Robert's
phone?
You know,
no, that wasn't my phone. It just went out like that. I just heard that.
That wasn't mine.
No, I'm going to tell you whose phone that was. That was Crack-a-lackers.
Oh,
wow.
Must be a thunderstorm up there. Okay.
Who was going to say something?
Wow. I was going to say something today.
Go ahead.
I honestly feel, I can understand if he feels that, you know, he didn't want the child or whatever the case may be with that. But, you know, that's the chance you take when you're having unprotected sex, whether you're with that person or not. You know, you run that risk of that woman becoming pregnant. And you have to step up as a man. You have to step up and take responsibility for your action. And he's financially in a situation where he can take care of that child. He should take care of that child. I don't necessarily agree with what she did as far as putting Beyonce's name in the mix, because that's just a way to get more publicity and bring more attention to it because you're using that name. But keep it solely about what the relationship is between you
and Matthew or Sandy
and
Matthew.
And she didn't need to put and she didn't need to put Beyonce in because Matthew had the big enough name in and of himself that she didn't need Beyonce. Momo B, I can see you hot. You hot under the collar.
Yes. Well, hello, everybody. Good morning. Good morning, Lady T. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning,
everybody. Good morning, everybody.
What's happening, Momo B? What's happening?
Good morning, Momo.
Graham Cracker, you on the line. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. Now, I'm going to try to be calm because I know Jay King, he's going to mute me if I start bugging out. So I'm being calm. I'm calm. I got my calm voice on. Calm voice on. Yeah. So what I would like to say is that in response to would I feel different about her had she not mentioned Beyonce's name? Yes, I would feel different about the whole situation because the situation would be right where it needs to be on the father. I don't care if he's Matthew Knowles. I don't care if he's Bobby from down the block. The same way I tell these teenage girls out here today around my area, the same way I tell these young women who get pregnant who just want to hold on to their little man even though they know that he's sleeping here and there and there, I would have the same speech for her. I would sit and tell her that it's a shame that the father of your child does not want to take care of him, does not want to see him, does not want anything to do with you. It is a shame. It's always been a shame since it started years ago. She's not the first one it's happened to, and this will not be the last. So what? It's too late to preach this to her now because she should already know better. I swear, I think people of our age should know better. And sometimes we love hard, and we fall into the same trap that these young teenagers fall into. So it's no different speech. It's no different speech.
But what about this, Momo B? What about when the guy says, look, I'm not living with my wife. We're separated. We're getting a divorce. And then you say, no, I don't. You know, you gotta deal with that stuff before you can deal with me. And he says, look, I'm getting a divorce. He show you the divorce papers. Not only do he show you the divorce papers, he say, you and I can move together. And then he moves in with you. You guys move together. And then you guys are moving, and then you guys are traveling together. You guys are openly together. His friends see him with you. Your friends see you with him. Now, I mean, is she still stupid to you?
She's stupid to me. Because it's just a matter of time. If you get a divorce, okay, you can get a divorce. I don't know what, you know, different people take different amount of times and getting. But I'm not the one that keeps saying I'm getting. I'm not listening to the word.
But listen, him and Tina, it was public record that he and Tina were in the middle of a divorce. And, you know, when you got money and property and stuff like that, a divorce just doesn't happen overnight. It ain't like somebody going down to the courthouse and saying, hey, I don't like.
I agree. You
know, what I'm asking is this. So you think, now here are two people in a relationship with each other. Here's a,
yes.
You know, because, you know, it's like there are people right now that are still married to their exes and haven't been in a relationship with them for years. They're living with the new man or woman and have been living with them for years. And, you know, are they stupid? I mean, you know,
listen,
I mean, just
all,
because...
All,
I never
said
they were stupid. Nobody said they were stupid. It's just,
I'm
you
not,
know...
I'm not asking
who's
you
married.
Because I'm asking Momo B specifically because Momo B thought she was stupid and everything.
Okay.
So I'm not asking you. I didn't say Lady T. I was asking Momo B because me and Momo B was talking directly.
Okay.
There's all forms of stupidity. You can be stupid just for not knowing something. So, yes, I'm not going to back down. Momo B does not back down from what I say. I say what I say, and I mean what I say. She should have took extra care of what she was doing. And if she does not,
Momo B, have you ever been in a situation?
How come I cannot complete my sentence?
I'm gonna tell you why. Because this is Kings in the Morning, not Momo B.
Kings in the Morning, if we have a discussion, I should be able to complete my sentence.
Have you ever listened to the Bill O'Reilly show?
No.
Have you ever listened to Rush Limbaugh?
No.
when you listen to those shows, you get to speak up until they decide they don't want you to speak anymore, and then they butt in. I'm a student of that. I like it. And that's where I got
the
views.
Well, I don't
like
it, and I didn't just call in. I was requested to call in, so you invited me up in here, and you should hear the rest of my sentence before you butt in.
Well, see, there you go. See how you're talking to me right now?
No, because you asking for it. That's why I don't call
you. You see?
Czar of the mute.
I just had to do that, Momo. I just wanted to do
that. No, you know, this is the difference between me and everybody else in life. I ain't stupid. I ain't falling for your shit more than once. So, goodbye.
Bye.
You go.
Do that to Howard Stern.
I like Momo
do that to Howard Stern today.
See, Momo B is on, she's on, you know, she's on J. Ryle's show. She's a firecracker over there, too. But, you know, I got a lot of sway over there. Kim Virgil wrote this. Virgil wrote, "I don't believe in abortion, but I can understand someone panicking and thinking they're going to have a baby like Johnny Graham Cracker, black on the outside, white on the inside. That would scare the crap out of anybody."
That's cold. What do you want to say,
Daddy? She said,
Ice Cube Cold.
Johnny, what you got to say to Kim Virgil? See, if Johnny said, now if Johnny was hip right now, Lynn, you know what Graham Cracker would have said to Kim Virgil?
What's that?
that's where you gotta make it happen like that, Johnny. You have to be on top of that. See, she threw a wise crack at you. Boom, you hit her right back with one.
Oh, yeah.
Is Johnny on?
Johnny's on, but he might be, that white woman might be telling him, he might have used up all his monkey minutes already.
No,
who are we talking about?
I'm back. I had to go refill my coffee.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead, Johnny.
Cool. Hey, so since we're having beef, we're going to call this the beef show. Okay, so that was the Alexandra Wright, Matthew Knowles beef
show. The beef show.
What, you know what, Lynn?
Beef scroll.
I expect us to have that kind of beef. You know, just regular folk, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But when people that we call, you know, scholars and you know, these are the brain trust of, you know, of the day for us. When they start beefing, you know, it's kind of funny.
It's a little pork in it, ain't it?
It's a little pork in the beef.
Pork in it.
This is Al Sharpton.
Uh-oh.
And Tavis Smiley.
Oh.
Beefing?
Having beef.
I think the next thing they're going to do is go look at the issue of what we're going to do with the
I'm definitely going to be in Washington tomorrow because that's what our concern is. We get killed if we don't represent our interests in the disproportionate amount of unemployment in our community, and I and Vangelis are going to be back in there tomorrow. I think Mark is going to join us, Laura Murphy and others. Hold on a minute, Dr. Ogletree. I have on the line Tavis Smiley, I believe. What is that, Tavis Smiley?
Governor, how are you, sir?
I was fine till you stopped messing with me this morning. What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me, and I'm not messing with you or Brother Ogletree.
How you doing, Tavis?
Hey, Charles, how are you?
Good.
What I said this morning was on national radio, which I'll say again now, is that we need to have a conversation about whether or not there needs to be a black agenda. And when there are certain African-American leaders, including respectfully and lovingly, as I said this morning, the two on this phone right now, who are quoted in the New York Times and other places coming out of meetings in the White House suggesting publicly in the media and to black people that this president doesn't need to have an African-American agenda. What I said this morning, and I prefaced it by saying how much I love you and Brother Ogletree and Mark Morial and Vangelis and the icon, Dr. Dorothy Height, But when black leaders start saying to black people in the black media that we don't need to have this president focus on an African-American agenda, given that black folk are getting crushed, I said we need to come together to have a conversation about what that means. I think there's a disconnect between those kinds of quotes and black people. I made no.
No, I think there's a disconnect between. I think there's a disconnect between what you're saying and what was said. First of all, we never said that, and second of all, the New York Times never said we said that. And if you wait a minute, I didn't interrupt you. And if you thought we had said that, you should have picked up the phone and called and asked us. When people were beating you down last year for your opposition for President Obama, I came to your forum and defended you. So the least you could have done if you thought we said something that you had issue with was pick up the phone if you had such love for us and ask us, was this said? But I challenge you to show me what New York Times said, that the New York Times said that we said we didn't discuss a race jobs bill. We did not say that we did not think he needed to discuss it. Quote.
Now I can quote. I have the article in front of me. I can quote from it right now if you want.
Well, what's your date? Because I want to pull it up.
I got it right now. February 9th, 2010.
Go ahead.
And the article says, and I quote, talking about the fact that President Obama has been avoiding the race question. The article says, and I quote, February 9, 2010, many black leaders view this White House position as wise. The Reverend Al Sharpton, who is working with Mr. Obama to close the achievement gap in education, says the president is smart not to ballyhoo a black agenda. It goes on to quote Charles Ogletree. It goes on to quote Dr. Dorothy.
Okay, well, Travis, tell me when I said that he is smart not to ballyhoo a black agenda, how did that even come anywhere near you saying I walked out the White House saying that we don't need a black agenda that the president deals with? If I said that if you were getting ready to have an event and you'd be smart not to ballyhoo a certain segment of the event, that does not mean that I don't think you should have the event or emphasize something. What you just read is nowhere near what you said, Tavis.
First of all, Reverend Al, if you get a transcript of what I said this morning, I did not say
you just told me what you said, and I'm telling you, you're wrong. And what you just read does not correspond with what you said.
I did not say anything more in my commentary this morning than what was said in these articles, number one. Number two.
Mr. Smiley, you did not just read an article that we walked outside of the White House and said that we don't need a black agenda.
Reverend Al, and that's not what my commentary said this morning. You should.
But you just said that yourself.
No, I'm telling you now what I said in my commentary this morning, number one. Number two, for 10 consecutive years, you and Charles Ogletree were pretty much at every one of these forums that I've had on the State of the Black
Community. That's correct.
And in 10 consecutive years, I sent you the same letter this time that I sent all the others. You say I didn't call you. I've never. We're friends, and we talk and hang out and have dinner together. But every year I invite you to participate in this conversation, I do it the same way.
First of all, Tavis, you have always called me and said, hold this date because you're getting a letter. Second of all, you announced publicly you are not having the forum this year.
Exactly.
You announced that publicly.
Exactly.
So sending me a letter and not even calling me and assuming I got a letter when you had announced you were not doing it is disingenuous.
Reverend Al, we talk.
Hold it. I'm going to let you talk as long as you want, but I'm going to hit you point by point. So that is disingenuous. Third of all, for you to get on and say that we said something that we didn't say and then read a quote that doesn't say that, because February 9th we hadn't even had to meet with the president. And I repeat, I don't think the president needs to ballyhoo a black agenda. That does not mean the president does not need to deal with a black agenda. The president does not need to get out there and do what we should be doing. Saying the president shouldn't ballyhoo a black agenda is not saying the president should not be held to a black agenda or deal with a black agenda. And that is not what you said. Don't talk to us like we're stupid, Tavis. Hold on a minute. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to let you say whatever you want to say. But if you want to deal with truth, let's deal with truth. Lovingly, but don't love me and distort me. Keeping it real. Sharpton, that's my name. I'll be right back with Tavis Smiley, if he's still there, and Dr. Charles Ogletree right after this.
Okay.
Hip hop hooray!
Okay, so yesterday we had Dr. Cornel West versus
Michael
Eric Dyson.
Yeah.
And so some of us said that Michael Eric Dyson will win. Some of us said that Cornel West will win. I said Cornel West because I felt like Cornel was in better shape than Michael Eric Dyson. I think Michael needed to lose some of that weight around the midsection. That weight really is crucial to you in a fight. If you're fighting somebody that knows how to fight and that's quick at getting a punch off, the guy that's quick to getting a punch off, if he knows how to hit you in vital spots, and you know, and you're a heavy person, you won't understand how much wind is going to be against you when you can't catch yours, and he puts your ass in a chokehold. It's over with.
Yeah, I don't like now, what Tavis Smiley said, but I'm picking Tavis Smiley in a fight over Al Sharpton.
Now, yeah, okay, so you got Tavis and Smiley and Al. Now, Al has lost a lot of weight. But the problem is this,
to his disadvantage.
Yeah, to his disadvantage. Remember when Roy Jones went up to heavyweight, fought Ruiz and beat him, and then came back down in weight and got his ass whooped?
Mm-hmm.
It was because that fluctuating weight, going back and forth, up and down in weight, it makes your muscles, it can, you know, make your muscles weak, and you lose a lot of strength. So Alden went down a weight. Now Al kind of looked like a bobblehead doll.
He looks like Star Jones.
He does. He looked like Star Jones. But and she looks like a bobblehead doll.
Yeah. You know, that loss
and,
of weight
didn't work. Tavis is a big guy. You know, Tavis is 6 feet plus. I think he's about 6'2". Now, I'm not saying Tavis is sweet, but there's something kind of sweet about Tavis.
You think so?
Just something. I don't know why. I just get a little sweetness from him.
I don't get that.
I'm not saying sweet because when he fight like, you know, it's almost like this to me.
Right.
It's almost like, Reverend Al, that ain't what I said. I love you. And, you know, when somebody tell you they love you, and then they, you know, and they talking smack, it ain't the kind of love like love. It's like, I love you, I can't stand you, really. You know what I'm saying? I don't like you. So when you say, I love you, you know, I tell you all the time, I love you. You know, Judas told Jesus he loved him. So I kind of feel like that, right?
Talking out the side of your neck, smiling.
Yeah, he's doing a cameo on him. Talking out the side of your neck. So, I think Tavis would windmill and knock the shit out of him. I just think that Al lost too much weight. As much as I want Al to win because he's the smaller guy here, you know, Al didn't just lose weight. He lost his shoulders. You know, Al's got, you know, he's got small shoulders, you know, and when you got small shoulders like that, I think that they kind of, I'm not calling them girl shoulders. They just kind of feel a little like girl shoulders to me. When you lose weight, you have to build yourself up. You got to build up that muscle. And that's why I think Al Sharpton would lose this fight. I just think Tavis Smiley are overpowering, a blow to the chest. You know, elbow, you know, because he's right there, he can just hit him with the elbow right there on the side of his cheek, and he's going to cut his face. You get hit with an elbow, you know, across any part of your face right there, if you get hit right, it's going to cut you. And I just think, I think if Al gets blood in his perm, it's over with. He's done. He's going to just lay down on it.
I think Al will just bitch slap him.
So you think Al wins the fight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So you okay? What about you, Lynn? Who do you think, Lynn? You think Tavis, right?
Yeah, Tavis. I think Tavis. Okay. I think Tavis will get him.
Okay. What do you think, Robert? Okay. What do you think, Simi?
I think Al, because his big ass head, you know, and it makes his jaw strong.
Wow, okay.
The shit out of Chuck.
What do you think? What do you think, Daryl?
Physical fight, you probably have to give it to Tavis, but it sounds verbally that Al.
We're not
down.
Talking about a verbal fight. We're talking about, you just heard me talk about a physical fight. Why would you put verbal in it? The only
because
thing that's
gonna
happen
going
to happen verbally. No,
Jay,
not going by what you, going by what we're talking about. We're talking about a physical fight.
I said physically I would say Tavis, but I'm listening to what was said, and I was saying.
Okay. Now, since you getting, you didn't got, I say you didn't got in there with Momo B, and you want to get a little juicy with it, too. So you can be on mute for a little while. 213-278, who's calling?
Good morning. How you doing, the Kings, in this morning? How's it going?
How are you today?
What's going on now?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Y'all talking about fighting this morning, huh?
Yeah, well, we ain't talking. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think will win a physical fight? And I have to say physical since Mr. DOW got on a little yellow school bus today. He thought it might have been a verbal altercation we were talking about. Who would win a physical fight between Al Sharpton and Tavis Smiley, in your opinion?
I think Al got that old school punch. He knocked Tavis on his ass. That's what I think. Al had knocked Tavis on his ass. He got that grown man strength. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
But Al is like 60. Tavis is like 45, 50. Don't you think
But Tavis caught up in the world. He just too busy and too tired. Al don't do nothing all day but just sit Al or sock the shit out of him. That's all I'm saying, you know? Tavis too busy. He's a typical American. He don't sleep. He don't get no rest. Just trying to get all the money and all his little shows and stuff. Al ain't doing shit. Al getting his Social Security and he working out and he has goals. He has
I'm
going to
tell y'all right now,
something.
Al lost too much damn weight. Al's strength is gone. Now, Fat Al might have won.
Yes,
but no,
Fat Al
might have
won.
Look, Al still got that hair like Samson on it. He still got that hair on him.
No, he cut it down. His hair is cut down. He just got the perm, but it's short now.
Okay, long as he got the perm, he still got his strength. Long as he got that perm, he still got
the
that
perm,
strength.
Yeah, because a lot of people who had that perm, they had it fell out their head. Al is the only one who had the perm all that time, and he still got hair. So you
he
might be right about
strong.
That.
And it's great,
cause
too.
Because Al used Dr. Lovely. See, the rest of them were using something different. Al still used Dr. Lovely perm.
Kim Virgil said, I like the debate thus far for a couple of reasons. Number one, Rev was very respectful and let Tavis say what he had to say without interruption and a damn mute button. Number two, in their rebuttal, they held to their own, a tie thus far. Learn, JJ, from Al. Fight fair, or should I say, debate fair. Leave the mute button at home. So let me say this to you, Kim. My daddy taught me there was no such thing as a fair fight. My dad said, if a nigga bigger than you, and he want to fight,
pick up something and knock the hell out of him. That's what you do.
That's right.
Yep.
Which is what I learned how to do a long time ago. And I will pick up something and knock the hell out of you.
And we Americans, and you know America ain't never fought fair.
Next to last, Don said Momo went in on Jay. He ain't wanted. Momo ain't went in on me. Next to last, Don. Don't get her all hyped up. That ain't what happened. Momo B talk a lot. She talk loud, and she got put on mute like I put everybody else on mute. That started talking loud and over talking me on my show.
There you go.
Over talking me
there
on my
go.
Show, you're gonna get muted. That's the way the Tootsie rolls. That's right. Don't
right,
over.
Well, I got to go.
You did over talk me.
Dispensary.
If I cut you off, that means I'm telling you not to talk, and you kept talking. I'm sorry, not you. I'm talking to Momo B in the chat room.
Okay. I just want to tell y'all the dispensary about to open about 32 minutes. I got to go. You know, I got to have my Obama Kush while I watch Wendy this morning.
You still on the Obama kush?
Yeah, that Obama kush, that keep me freaky and ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you get freaky, what do the Obama kush make you want to do?
Hey, I done told you by asking me them personal questions. You want to know what that Obama kush did? I mean, you meet me at the Motel 6 on Crenshaw and 51st.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Wow.
How old are you?
I'm 77.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So what, you trying to get me put in jail? I do something to you at the Motel 6. I'm going to jail for abusing an elderly.
Well, you're going to jail, but I'm going to heaven, baby. So don't you really? It's gonna work out.
Real hair. Let me clear my throat. Yeah.
Oh yeah, babe.
Because I'm trying to have sex until I die. So I'm going to heaven, and you're going to jail.
You got any battery operated toys?
No, I just go down to the senior building around the first one. Everybody done bought their Viagra and just take my pick.
Do you know, now, let me ask you a question. What do you think happened to Flight 370, the Malaysia flight?
I just want to be the first to say that motherfucking flight is blown the hell up. You ain't going to find not a morsel, not a cell phone, not a piece of clothing, not nothing. They need to quit bullshitting with America and tell us that they can't find it because it blew hell up, basically. You talking about 200-something people that had iPhones and you can't get a signal from nobody 9 days later? It's, they gone, baby. They gone. Just pray for the souls because they gone.
Okay. That's going to be our subject now, Lynn, for the next 30 minutes. Sexy Mama, I can't remember your name. Could you tell us your name? I know you called in before.
It's Miss Lula Mae Johnson.
Oh, Miss, yeah. Lula Mae Johnson. Miss Johnson. What were you going to say, Lynn?
I didn't say anything. That was Johnny, I think.
Oh.
That's why I only fly dirty Southwest. That's why I only fly dirty Southwest, because you ain't got to worry about it. None of that stuff going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Dirty Southwest. That's Miss Lula Mae Johnson, you guys. For those of you who didn't know, that's Miss Lula Mae Johnson. People wanted to know who you were in the chat room. Lynn, Flight 370, I want you guys to think about this flight.
Okay.
This is a flight that we're searching for. I want you guys to think about all of the technology that we have.
Yeah.
That's how you
got
to some bullshit.
We got such great technology that we caught a senator kissing a woman that worked for him off site on a camera that happened to be someplace pointing, because they got cameras everywhere. We have eyes in the sky as satellites.
Right.
We
that
have
can
Google
zoom
Maps.
Down on your damn house. That can zoom right down on your damn house.
You got
a billion
Google Maps that can Google anywhere at any time.
Anywhere.
And then I want you guys to think about this. And they want us to believe that the only technology they have, Lynn, to find out where a plane might have went down is in a black recorder box.
Anywhere.
In the plane. They want us to believe that they can't hear anything that happens on that plane except for on that black box. And they got to find the black box. Now, in the 1960s, Lynn, I can get with that, okay? In the 1970s, I can get with that.
They saw Saddam Hussein hiding in that hole.
Exactly. They could do anything. They can find, but they can't find this plane. But, Lynn, why in 2014 are we still talking about a black box that we were talking about in the 1960s?
You see how long it took to change the tax deduction from
if they would have made it a white box with blonde hair and blue eyes, they'd have found it by now.
Miss Luda Mae Johnson.
Listen, whether the box floated or not don't matter. The question is, why are we even relying on a box in the plane?
Hey, they could see on Mars. They sent that thing over there. They could watch. They were able to remote control the direction of that device and see on Mars. You know, how far is Mars away from us?
You can't see, but we are, the public is so dupable that we'll say, we'll, until they find the black box, you know, we don't know what's going on. You know, we can't never say, you know, it's too deep down in the ocean now. And now
out,
they're
Jay.
Saying
check
that.
This out.
Now,
check this out.
Uh-huh.
Check this out. They've got batteries that lasted watches for 2 years. You know, you put a battery. They got lifetime batteries, but they're going to put a 30-day battery in a black box for a plane.
Well, that's in case they shoot down a plane and they don't want to land it for 30 days.
But let me ask you guys a question. Why would we still deal with an analog recording device in a black box when we can actually just do a streaming device? And you know that streams everything from the computer straight to a database.
They got that too, baby. They just playing with y'all, okay? They got all
well,
the things.
Playing.
If you can
Ms.
think Lula of
Mae Johnson,
it,
that's
much
why I'm having
the
conversation because they can't play with me because I don't play that game. I'm not gonna go for the old razzle me dazzle me the old alakazam. I want to know why are we not saying why are they playing this game. And why aren't people asking these questions?
That's the question. What happened to it and why they
See, I think the total opposite. I think the plane didn't crash. I think the plane didn't blow up. I think something else happened with that plane. I think somebody has the plane.
Yep.
And the reason why I say that is Simi was going to be on Lynn's show one day, and they were going to be talking about Flight 370. And I told Simi, do some research, man. Find out who's on the plane. Why haven't they told us who's on that plane? And Simi came back with there were 20 people on the plane, 8 Chinese, 12 Malaysian, that worked for a technology company out of Austin, Texas, and one of the things that they were working on was a cloaking device. And they were on this plane. They were also working on some stuff with Obamacare. They were on this plane. And why haven't they talked to us? Lynn, you know, by this time, we would have known everybody that was on that plane.
Right.
We would know their backstory.
Exactly.
We would know their history.
Like they did with Harvey Milk, or that guy that was the Milky Way, the Comet Riders. We knew,
we knew everything. Everybody's background.
And how long ago was that, Jay?
That was over 10 years ago.
So why couldn't they have a better now? Why couldn't they have, like, better research now? By now, they should have everybody's thing in a column. Passenger number one was so-and-so, born so-and-so, married to so-and-so, did so-and-so.
Right.
Why aren't they telling
Jay,
us?
I love y'all, but happy hour at this dispensary about to happen. I got to go. I'll call you later. I love the Kings. You keep doing what you're doing.
Johnson, I'm glad you called in. Call anytime you want to. We love having you.
Well, thank you, baby. I'll probably call Friday. We got a fish fry going on at the church. I'm going to need some donations from y'all.
Okay, you call in.
All right.
Don't look for Robert to donate nothing, though, because he never do.
Donate some candy.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
So,
God bless you.
So, you know, I don't understand why we don't see technology, you know, in that industry the same way we see it across the board everywhere else. Think about even, you know, just social media, how much has changed over the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't think technology in these planes, and this was the brand new plane. This was the 777.
Wow. Hey, did you see that picture of those two guys that had fake passports? They had the same pants at the bottom. Did you see that picture? It was the same bottom pair of pants for both passengers.
Well, I didn't even see that. So I'm saying, you know,
we're being duped.
Just like Amenti said, just like the show Lost. Auntie said, we will never hear about it. They will bury this story with BS till it gets old and no one cares anymore. They just have a plane. And that's what I think. I think, you know, that there's more to this story, and I think that there's more to the story than what we're being told.
Of course.
That they know more. The government knows more.
See, when this story first came out, that was one of the first things I said, is that I think they had this plane hidden somewhere on some remote island. And I believe you had mentioned that it needed 4,000 feet of runway to land, about 8,000 feet of runway to take off because of the size of the plane.
Right.
But I still think it's possibly hidden somewhere if it didn't blow up. And if they're saving it for some whatever reason, and either these people may be dead or they're holding them hostage. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. And, you know, the one interesting thing about the age that we're in, which is the information age, is there's no real controls in place. So you can't – so even the secrets that you have under control, they're not under control. That's why the NSA secret was leaked by Snowden. You know, there was a time when those secrets would have never been out. But until, you know, we don't know who the people are on this plane because they don't want us to know who the people are on this plane. And they don't want us to know who these people are on this plane for a reason. And they went through this whole thing of, you know, now we know for certain. How many times do they know for sure that they had the black box?
At least 10.
Yeah. They don't know for sure if they got it now.
And now we got it this time. As a matter of fact, the Australian Prime Minister came on TV and said he's more than confident that they're going to recover it. And like you said, Lynn, why do they make a battery that run out in 30 days?
That's
why
crazy.
Why wouldn't it run out in 30 years?
Right.
Or 30 months.
Or at least
why
a 30 year.
Days?
At least a year.
2014, people. Y'all better start asking questions.
J. King's News Reel.
Criminal allegedly abducts district attorney's father for revenge. Serving as an attorney of the law comes with great responsibility. It can also come with some bad, unforeseen consequences, especially if the attorney works with criminals. One criminal attorney realized this fact to be true recently. A man who was sentenced to life behind bars was allegedly caught while planning the kidnapping of the attorney's father. His primary resource was a cell phone he was not allowed to have. The man was Kelvin Melton, and he was reportedly masterminding the incident from the comfort of his cell. He was charged Friday with conspiring to kidnap Frank Arthur Jansen. According to the Daily News, authorities believe Melton, who goes by the nickname Dizzy, was planning to kidnap Jansen and kill him so that he could gain revenge for his imprisonment. They also believe that Melton was not alone. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Melton worked with a team that included five others. Melton used a cell phone that he illegally possessed while serving a life sentence in a Polk Correctional Institution in Butner, North Carolina, to transmit instructions and threats to Mr. Jansen's wife and co-conspirators in the plot. He continued specifically, Melton gave instructions on how to kill Mr. Jansen and dispose of his body. There were a total of 123 calls and text messages exchanged by Melton, as reported by the Daily News. It is believed that Jansen was targeted because it was his daughter that served as the assistant district attorney who prosecuted Melton. Though the plan was not fully executed, a great deal of it was carried out. Jansen was assaulted at his home, forced into a vehicle, and driven to Atlanta, where he was held hostage for 5 days, as reported by the news site. Now, I want you guys to think about something, Lynn. They know how many phone calls were made. They know how many text messages were exchanged.
Yep.
You're telling me that they can hear, that they know that these pilots made phone calls on their phones. They can't tell you how many calls. They right now, they're telling us how many phone calls was made, what kind of text messages. They have not talked to us about any text message, any phone call anybody made on that plane. They tell us how much technology we have, all the things that our technology is capable of, and then they want us to believe that on a plane plane is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, Lynn.
$250 to $260 million, somewhere in that neighborhood for that plane. I looked it up.
$200 million plus.
$260 million, and the battery only lasts for 30 days. You know, a diehard battery, which is $80, it lasts 3 years. And if it doesn't last 3 years, you can take back whatever the battery is and get the pro rate for another battery. 3 years for a diehard.
You can't tell me that you guys ain't asking questions now, saying, uh-oh. I know about the ferry, DLW. I don't really do, like, stories like the story with the ferry, because you're going to hear it all day.
No, I put that up for Ryder. Ryder asked if we had touched on it, and I said Lynn had touched on it when we started, and I just gave Ryder the information on it
yeah.
in the chat room.
Yeah, I don't talk about stories that you guys are going to hear about all day. I'd rather just talk about stories that nobody's going to talk about.
Is that what I think it is? Is that what
yeah.
I think it is?
Oh, no.
Robert, we
oh,
heard you snoring.
Big time.
Go ahead.
My laughter woke him up. My laughter was his alarm clock.
I was dreaming I was on that plane.
Robert, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do for you, Robert, so that you can dream and you can do whatever you want to do, Robert. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do for you, and this is gonna make you feel good.
What's that, buddy, old pal?
Still breathing.
That's okay. He won't be no more. It's done. That's what I'm going to do for you, Robert. You're welcome. It's the only thing that I could do, Lynn.
Robert Van Winkle.
Jay King's News Reel.
Woman kills hitman hired by her husband, speaks out.
You have post live.
It's been 8 years since Susan Walters killed the hitman hired by her own husband. Now she's speaking out. Walters' ex-husband, Michael Kuhnhausen, was convicted in 2006 of paying a man $50,000 to kill her. Instead, she killed him. Kuhnhausen is set to go before a parole board and could be released later this year. Walters told KHQ TV she's since forgiven her husband, but she hasn't forgotten.
And although I've forgiven my ex-husband for who he became and what he did to me and all those that he loved, I cannot forget what he's capable of. I didn't choose my attacker's death for him. I chose my life.
She also said she hopes her story inspires others to fight back. Leslie Morgan Steiner, a survivor of domestic abuse, told CNN 70% of domestic violence murders happen after the victim has gotten out of the relationship. She said what most victims ask for first is safe shelter to protect them from their abuser. The next priority for them is legal advice and representation. After Walters was attacked, she agreed to a plea deal that gave Kuhnhausen a 10-year prison sentence. She says she probably wouldn't do that again and plans to go before the parole board in hopes of keeping him away from her if he gets released.
She killed the dude that came to kill her.
Wow.
So let me let her talk about it for you guys. Hey, can you imagine, Lynn, you send somebody to kill your wife and he get killed?
Yeah.
You know what? I almost want to say he should go to the police and say, you see why the one had nothing to do with her?
Huh.
You know, this is what she's been doing to me all this time.
The hunter gets captured by the game.
Right.
So this is what happened, Lynn. The Portland woman who strangled the hitman hired by her husband to kill her reveals the details of how she fought her attacker in a TV program for the first time on the Discovery Network. Susan Walters, who used to be Susan Kuhnhausen, agreed to go back into the home. Hold on.
Portland woman who strangled the hitman hired to kill her.
And for the very first time, she's showing off how she fought him off, revealing shocking new details now. K2's Anita Casey is live in Southeast Portland now. Anita, this is for a national TV show.
Yeah, Susan Walters, who used to be Susan Kuhnhausen, has not done a one-on-one like this before, but she agreed to take the Discovery Network inside this home and share how she survived that horrible night that she had to kill the hitman that her husband had hired for $50,000.
If I ever, ever believed that you deserved to be dead, I would have at least had the balls to kill you myself.
Susan Walters didn't hold back when her husband, Michael Kuhnhausen, was sent to prison for plotting to kill her, but she's kept details of that night in 2006 private until now.
I could see in his eyes that he was here to kill me.
Susan's story, featured this month on Investigation Discovery's show, Nothing Personal, Murder for Hire.
When I pushed the door back and stepped forward, my attacker began to hit me in the head and face with the hammer.
Susan relived that 14-minute struggle with hitman Edward Haffey.
And I knew that for whatever reason, he wanted to kill me. And I knew that I wanted to live. I pushed him flat to the floor, and I got up on his backside. And I leaned forward, and I put my left arm under his neck. And I squeezed, and I said, tell me who sent you here, and I will call you an ambulance. I wanted him to be afraid, as terrified as I was.
When Haffey tried to flip her, instinct kicked in for this ER nurse. She leaned harder until he stopped moving.
I wasn't sure whether he was unconscious or dead. But when he was still, I grabbed the hammer and I ran.
This is video of Susan on her way to her own ER. Haffey died, and during the show credits, Susan made it clear she lives with the pain of that.
I don't know that you ever get over having killed another human being. I've always said I don't take any pride in what I did. But I also feel no shame.
Michael is serving 10 years. Susan says she fears the day he gets out because she believes he still may try to kill her. As for the backstory, how he got caught and why he wanted her dead in the first place, that's all included in the show, which airs on March 28th.
live in Southeast Portland, Anita Cassay, K2 News. That was such a powerful story. Listening to her recount what happened is incredible. Anita, thank you.
You said somebody could beat your wife in the head with a hammer. Number one, he wasn't hitting hard enough.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
He was probably scared.
He didn't hit her hard enough because if you, cause I'm gonna tell you right now, you gotta, you can't, you know what? He probably thought that he was gonna pop her in the head, and she was gonna fall back and start screaming. You know, she ain't no little woman. And I'm gonna tell you guys, I keep telling y'all about that chokehold. You guys think I'm playing? Once she got him in a chokehold, there was nothing he could do. Because once you got somebody in a chokehold, every time they move, every time they move, they make it worse for themselves.
Especially if you got them like in a full Nelson lock.
Once you got a chokehold and you got a lock, there's nothing that your windpipe is cut off.
And she's in a panic too, so her strength is probably elevated.
Well, and you know, and she said that whatever she said to him, and she told him, you know, tell me who sent you, and that nigga, he started struggling, and she put that pressure on him, and that was it. And what she probably felt, the struggle that she probably felt, was him trying to catch his breath. No, you can't break. No. Last done. You can't break a real chokehold. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about when you got somebody in a choke lock. When your arm is locked inside your the fold of your arm and your elbow. They can't break that. Now I'm gonna tell you how I know that, last done, because I almost killed one of my friends, and you guys heard me talk about it before. When Big Dirt tried to break my chokehold like Last Don. See, Last Don is one of them dudes that I damn near killed, proving to him that you know, you get, once you're in the chokehold, you can't get out of it. Because, you know, Dirt weighed almost 400 pounds, and he said the same thing, and I was hanging on his back. And when he ran me into the building, he locked the choke. He locked it and almost killed himself. Betting $500.
A slip grip.
No, once somebody got you in a real chokehold, that's it, buddy. Now, if you want me to show it to you.
Self-tightening. I did that to a guy once.
I'll show it to you.
I did that to a guy once, and he got pissed off. You know, I said, hey, man, once I get you in a headlock, in a choke, you ain't getting out. You know,
I'm gonna tell you something scarier than that. To get put in one, I got put in one, and man, you know, it's no way you can get out of it. Because the first thing, we were slap boxing, then I went low on him, and he grabbed me around my neck from underneath, and I couldn't breathe.
He can break your neck every time you move, and your neck is vulnerable. He can break your neck at that point.
I wasn't finished, Jimmy, but you know, you go ahead.
My bad.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right.
Jimmy, you always do that.
Put some salt and
you
pepper
always
on.
Do that,
Joe. I
talking.
Don't always
if
do that, Jay.
You do an I can't
hear. I always do that. Okay, sometimes I can't hear them. And I told you the other day that I'm having a real tough time because I only got one hearing aid in, and the left ear takes my balance off, and I can't hear that well. But I don't always
do
that.
So if you can't hear that well, why wouldn't you wait until you, you hear absolutely nothing, but I guess you feel like that all the time. Glenn, finish saying what you were saying.
I forgot now. I'm 64. I heard Robert snoring, though.
On behalf of those who can hear my voice, regardless of when they listen, either now or during an archive session, I come to you humble. Many people don't understand sometimes the negative shoe of persistence could be on their feet, but it isn't. Just like some people are on a relentless mission of good, there are some who are on a destructive mission of evil, and they can't help themselves. Remember Judas and the disciples. None shall deny was the commitment, but deny they did. Trust where you are in good. Thank you, God, for sparing those of us who are not evil. Do not have evil in our hearts. Thank you. Continue to shower us with your love and protection until our individual destinations have ended. Amen.
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 Great prayer, Lynn. Hey, I want to say thank you to Simi, Lynn. Simi came to my house. I had a leak in one of my sinks and needed a washer and all that stuff. And I was going to have to hire a get a plumber to come over here because, you know, when you leak, you get a little leak like that.
Uh-huh.
Over the month, it costs a lot. It costs you a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
You know, so my DWP bill was like $1,100. You know, for 2 months. Yeah, as opposed to it runs about between $650 and $700 every 2 months. So, you know, so $1,100, and once I fixed this leak, so I had to turn it off. It was only my hot water side in my sink and my bathroom. So Simi came over the other day, and Simi fixed it. And I really appreciate Simi for that. Thank you, Simi. And then me and Simi went and got pedicures.
Okay.
Just highfalutin.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now. So, you know, so for the pedicure, I think I got a $20 pedicure.
Okay.
And then I saw Simi pull out $100, and I'm like, "What?" And then I seen him and the little Asian woman. They're arguing back and forth. They love me a long time, and she said, $50 feet, $50 feet, and so Simi is like, "What?" She's like, $50 feet, no, $50 feet, and then I look at this nigga's feet.
Uh oh. $50 feet.
and these black toenails.
Wow. Yeah.
You got girl feet, Jay. Okay. I got man feet.
I have well preserved manicured feet. And you have animal feet.
Oh. That's all right. My woman don't care about my feet.
So you know, so we both got pedicures, right, Lynn? So now we're walking, you know, I'm going to get some stuff to cook. So we're walking in Ralph's, and you know how you have on the flip-flop shoes?
Yeah.
I got my flip-flops on. He got his flip-flops on. We just talking. And then these ladies walk by us and said, wow, he really needs to get a manicure. A pedicure.
And he just got one, right?
He just got one.
hey, Simi, let me tell you what you get. Get yourself $8 and get some bag balm. Bag balm.
Bag balm.
Yeah, bag balm. It comes in a green can. It looks like a snuff container. You should see my feet now, Jay. I can wear sandals proudly now, Jay. And you know how bad my feet were.
I told Simi, I said I was calling Lynn Jurassic Park.
Yeah, turtle toes. Turtle toes. He called me turtle toes.
You can kind of relate to me, right?
Yeah.
Since your feet look like Jurassic Park. And mine looks like, you know, animal feet.
Like the abominable snowman, Sasquatch.
We don't care, man. That's for guys like Jay.
My feet are better now.
What?
My feet look good now compared to
they
how
look good now, Lynn?
Yeah, and I'll send you a picture.
Please do. Let's see who has the ugliest feet.
Well, feet are ugly to me anyway. Feet are ugly.
Yeah.
My feet,
I still have clear toenails. I don't know where this black toenail business come from. But you know,
they
I gotta
call
admit.
Nigger toes. Remember those
no, I'm gonna tell you what happened. No, you know what? I had never gotten a pedicure or nothing. And Lori was the first person that took me to get a pedicure because I went with her, and she said, you should come get one. I'm like, no, I'm not a girl. And she's like, Jay, you're so Neanderthal. It's not being a girl. It's just pedicure is good for you. And because I was playing basketball so much, I would have ingrown toenails, and that my feet just hurt all the time. And one day I went with her, got the pedicure, and they pulled out the ingrown toenail, and it seemed like my feet just said, ah!
Wow.
And my feet just felt like all kind of pressure came off of them. And I've been getting pedicures ever since, and that had to be 1995.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
19 years ago that I started getting pedicures, I get a pedicure at least once a month. At least once a month. And because I run, it's good, you know, it's good for your feet. Because I run, they massage your feet. But because I've been running double time now, I'm doing two times a day sometimes.
Yeah.
My feet were starting to sweat more, so I was starting to get my feet are peeling. I wouldn't got and you know then they started itching. So that's when you start getting that athlete feet. I got some tough actin to nactin.
Hey, check this out. This is what Bag Bomb is about. I just happened to see it, and it said something about, you know, oil for your feet or something, but it didn't say feet. So I bought it. So I applied it on my feet, and then the next day my feet looked glamorous. And I said, I checked out what was the ingredients. I said, let me see what the ingredients are on this Bag Bomb. So it says, you know, after a milking. This is really for cows, you know, for cow's tits, you know, after you milk the cow's tits. Yeah, but I went online to see what I said after I saw my feet. Well, my feet are going to have to be cow's tits because I'm going to keep using it. but I went online and it says it's for cow's tits, but it can be used for humans. So, you know, that's. Hey,
I'm gonna check that out, man.
Bag
Bomb.
What is it called, Lynn?
Bag Bomb.
You need to get that. And Simi, you need that.
Bag Bomb.
I know. I think it's like
that,
in a green and black can.
You need that not now, but right now.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah.
Is it at a drugstore or what?
Yeah,
I mean,
at a drugstore.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't see it in a I saw it in a place called Drug Mart. Now, I don't know if you have Drug Mart in L.A., but Drug Mart, it reminds me of the old general store on the cowboy pictures where you go
now,
and they got
it. Spelled B-A-G-B-A-U-M?
B-A-L-M.
Bag Bomb, okay. Bag Bomb.
And it doesn't
B-A-G.
Smell like
okay.
that either.
So what you do with this, Link, I mean, go to Google and put Bag Bomb, you know, and they'll tell you where you can buy it. Don't forget, you guys, coming up next is Johnny Graham, Cracker Davis, and Wild Wednesdays. What you doing today on Wild Wednesday, Johnny?
I got a show today? I forgot all about that. No. Well, since it's Easter, you know, I don't have a really good time on Easter because me and my brother, like I said, found my mom dead on Easter. So I kind of sat back and chilled to myself. I just put together a little mix that me and her used to listen to. Some old school, y'all.
Old school.
Oh, right on.
Okay, good.
All right, you guys. My name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Johnny Graham, Cracker Davis, Mr. D.O.W., San Diego Simi, the Tenacious Lady T, and sometimes Robert Redwine. Sometimes. Telling you
Sleepy.
To get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. We're out of here, y'all.
Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning. In the morning. Kings in the morning.
Well, I'm not going to take you too far back, but this is some stuff me and my mom used to enjoy.
Wild Wednesdays with Graham Cracker Davis on the JKN.
Just taking you back a little bit here on the J. King Network. Yeah. Oh.
me, baby. I'm your lover, man. Together we go where we'll stop.
Get your jam on, damn it.
I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toy. I found a new pastime well on. Whatever I detect, members of the other sex, I play the game I do so well. I'm a girl watcher, watching girls go by, my, my, my. I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, here comes one now.
In the middle of a musical experience with Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
Thank you.
Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
That's a little bit of David Ruffin trying to bring back some oldies, but goodies.
About you, girl, chills run up and down my spine, and if my wish would come true, girl, I'd be with you all the time, all around.
Johnny Davis is being wild. Wild Wednesdays.
Get off my mind.
Only on the J. King Network, where we take you back. This.
Thank you.
while you're out moving around. Johnny Davis is putting it down.
Papa never was a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Stealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hung her head and said,
Papa was a rolling stone. Jack Cummins, wherever he lay
big borrowed steel to pay his bills.
Hey, Mama, folks say Papa never was much on thinking. Spent most of his time chasing women and drinking.
Mama looked up with a tear in her eye and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone.
Well,
he lay back once at home. And when he died, all he left us was a
I got a real love.
Come again.
I got a real love.
You know.
Oh, yeah. It's getting close to that. Still having. I'm back, y'all. Got a few more for you.
She's faced the hardest time you could imagine. Many times her eyes fall back the tears, Lord, Lord. And when her useful world was about to fall in, each time a slender shoulder felt the weight of all the fears, and a sorrow no one hears still rings in the night silence in her ears. Let her cry. Possession, I would pick them from the garden to the mine.
careful how you touch ya. She will awaken. Sweet the only freedom. All that she knows. No, no. When you walk into her eyes, you won't believe the way she's always saying for a debt she never owed, and the silence when you still love, but only she can hear, so she goes.
I know you have it hard sometimes, but when you feel like you need me, or you can call me, you see, because I'll be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much. Sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season. And that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Ooh, baby. A flower.
I've seen a many bridges in my time and crossed every one of them, but no trouble at all.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I had trials and tribulations, heartaches and pain.
Oh, yeah. We almost out of here, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the day. God bless. Taking you out with Mavis Staples.
Ow. They call me Melody Cooley. I was here long before you. If you're good, I will love you, but I'm nobody's fool. I'm Melody Cooley. When I was born, there were tidal waves. Go down with under nobody's blade. At every funeral, it rained. Every time I
cause that's why you see it. They call me Melody Cool. I was here long before you. If you're good, I would love you. But I'm nobody's fool. I'm Melody Cool.
In case you're wondering, this is Johnny on the bass. And he's also on Honeycomb Hideout on the JT Network.
Talking about the ghetto. Funky, funky ghetto. Trying to survive. Trying to stay alive.
The ghetto.
But I'd shoot that fool if he played me close and try to test my cool. Every day I wonder just how I die. Only thing I know is how to survive. There's only one rule in the real world, and that's to take care of you, only you and yours. Keep dealing with the hard times day after day. Might deal me some dope, but then crime don't pay. Black man trying to break in my house again. Thought he got off the dope, doing time in the pen. Even though my brothers do me just like that, I get a lot of love, so I'm giving it back.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.